maybe we have to comply with more regulations.
I think that's, see, that's where it is. He said a little bit earlier.
I remember I looked at it. That's as far as that. Lisa showed it to me when we were I looked at it, but I didn't need it.
Thinking you had it.
No, that's fine.
Doug, are you ready to go?
I get to the point where I get so many papers.
I got to start clearing them out and cleaning them.
Okay, the meeting's back in session. Okay, we're going to consider the construction of the Sundale Well, the bid, how they came in and who is going to do the work.
Yeah, Mr. President, on December 17th, your Honorable Board authorized staff to acquire bids for construction of the proposed Sundale Well located at the intersection of Sundale and Camino Cabal Road. Specifications were prepared by Graham Cater and Associates and sent out to well drillers so they may bid on the project. The following bids were received. One bid was no bid received. Enlo had a bid of $95,871 up to Howard Pumping of $120,263. There were 4 bids received. The insurance estimate was around $110,000. Therefore, the low bid is Enlo Well Drilling with the amount of $95,870. Mr. Enlo is in the audience. If the board has any questions, staff has prepared a resolution awarding the contract to Enlo Well Drilling to drill the pilot hole, test hole for the Sundale Well. And then you have a copy of the bid results for your review.
Okay, any questions for Ms. Enlo from board?
Is he here?
Yeah, he's back there. He's
back there. Does he have any comments?
No, any comments on Ms. Enlo?
Any public comments?
Okay. Public comments on this this item?
John Snyder, Clark, California Limited, 662 Gulfdus Road. I was wondering, out of the bid, approximately what portion of the $95,000 was for the test hole and how much for the whole well? Or is this just, is the $95 just for a test hole?
We have the bid results here. You're welcome to have a copy of it. It breaks out all dollar amount. Well, basically, his dollar amount is approximately $13,500 for mobilization, test well, and the e-log.
Okay, so like maybe 15 grand out of the 95.
Yeah. Hey, it is. Get a copy from me.
Okay, so we have a resolution before us. What's the number on this?
98634.
624?
634.
Okay. Chair will entertain a motion on granting this award to Ms. Enlo.
I make the motion.
Second.
Okay, motion by Mrs. Simon, second by Mrs. Blair, approving the contract to Enlo Well Drilling. Roll call vote, please.
Director Simon.
Yes.
Director Blair.
Yep.
Director Kay.
Yes.
Director Fairbanks.
Yep.
Director Mendoza.
Yes. Item number 5, Summit Station, subcommittee report. Mr. K, do you have some comments to make?
You want to go first?
Yeah, I could.
Sure.
The subcommittee met on Summit Station, and pretty much the status is the way it's been for the last, since the previous meeting. We're continuing to make the pressure tests and monitoring that, and it's the pressure is pretty constant right now, which is no surprise to us because you know, it's pretty well known that the problem occurs out there when the summer months come and the demand on the system increases. So there is a report coming from Mr. Gehring. I'm not sure if it's next meeting or it's coming though. That will be more definitive than just us telling you that we're monitoring the system. Just a minute. We're not through yet. When we're through with this, with our report, the public will have time to comment or ask questions. Mr. K, can you add to that?
We had two meetings on this, and we couldn't come to a consensus of opinion. I think it was more or less what the staff was saying that, and council was saying at the time that we've done our obligations as far as we were concerned, the staff was, that with the 20 pounds under the Title 22, that we had fulfilled the obligations, and anything inside the meter was the homeowner's responsibility. But I couldn't buy that because of the fact that, of the fluctuating pressure out there. It doesn't stay stationary. It's up and down, up and down. And that's how it's been going. Even though it's been over around 38 pounds, today was 35 pounds, it keeps on changing. And that's on, and I have a higher pressure on mine than what would, they would have in the higher elevations.
Would you like to comment on that?
Yes.
Yes. I'd just comment on a couple things. The law sets minimum standards. Okay, so the district can set its own standards. In fact, the Boyle report set a higher standard than the minimum standard. I think it's set between 30 and 40. So, and the board can review that and even set higher standards. I mean, that is something that is within the
board. Well, I think that's going to be brought up after we hear the report from Mr. Gehring. I think 20 pounds is not adequate.
That's a policy issue that would need to be studied.
Plus the fact that I found out also that besides going through the backflow losing pressure, they lose pressure through the meter too. So that's...
And that was one of the reasons, and I'm speaking out of turn here because this is fully out of my bailiwick other than to assist the board in being able to analyze the problem. And that's why we've been trying to request or find participants that will allow us to measure at the meter and at their house. Because it's very important. Again, this is a lawyer being an engineer, so I'm really out of my bailiwick. But it's an important analysis to conclude if you're presenting a lawsuit or something, you'd want to know the pressure at the well, the pressure at the fire hydrant, the pressure at the meter, and the pressure at the house, because that is a kind of an analytical framework in which this particular problem could be addressed. And saying that, I'm mindful of my very first comment, and that is the pressure at the meter. We have minimum legal requirements, and again, I want to say, and you're right, it's Title 22, and it's 20 pounds of pressure. The Boyle report establishes a higher pressure, and I would say again purely from a legal point of view, and this is not from a policy point of view, but from a legal point of view, the district, as every water district has done, and I think mandated by the code, is that we are responsible up to the meter, and the landowner is responsible for the service lines and the conditions to the house. I am not, in saying that, I am giving you the legal minimum requirements and not giving you, trying to limit your discretionary policies and how you can address issues. With that, I'll conclude my comments.
Well, it concerns me that with the Boyle report, I just received a copy a few weeks ago of this, and at page 34 that they were referring to at the previous meeting, and what Boyle recommends in this report is that just to have 50 residences that are impacted by the low pressure, that they would have a problem. And they have solutions, but then they discard all the solutions. They don't come up with any solution themselves.
Well,
the problem.
Again, Doug, I don't know if somebody else wants to chime in here, go right ahead. But that's what I perceive as what the board's direction is to staff right now, including our engineer, is to, if you want to use a characterize the words, to augment the boil report, to come up to attempt to categorize hopefully definitive solutions, but solutions to the issue. I think you're right. I think as I read the boil report they do a cost benefit analysis in their report through that section, and not necessarily an analysis of a solution. And what their conclusion was basically is that when you weigh the costs against the benefits, it's not warranted. Now this board obviously has the discretion to take a different tack.
The last sentence in that was the district may wish to reevaluate this position as additional properties developed in some station. So they leave it open.
Right, exactly.
And so I think that maybe we will reserve our recommendations on this until after we did receive the report from Mr. Gehring. Because
right.
We can't really, it has to go through him first before we...
Right, and again, I would just go back. We're hoping that somebody from a staff level that comes up to the podium, and I know that people are going to be talking about this, will allow the district to place a meter that has the right characteristics of what we're looking for the problem, that will allow the district to place a metering device or a gauge at their meter and a gauge at their house, because it will be very instructive, not only to where the problem is, but what are the solutions? I mean, what are the potential solutions?
Well, I was going to ask Mr. Gehring when he, concerning that, whether he has to have to be one, does it have to be one place, or can you have anywhere to get meters, recording devices put, or would it be just the potential where do you have the problem?
Well, Mr. President, members of the board, Jim Gehring, we would initially set the meter at the house or where we thought or they think they're having the most problem, and hopefully identify the problem at that location.
On the property.
On the property, at the house, that's right.
We have no water
to
Please save your comments for when you have the opportunity.
As far as completion of the study, I anticipate it would be meeting after next, approximately.
Okay.
Mr. Blair.
What about putting a couple of these measuring devices somewhere up on either Dale Avenue or maybe up at Poppy Lane? These areas are higher than their areas, I think, or at least the same height. That way we could get an idea of whether the problem is just localized to those few lots or whether the problem is the same. Because I don't think everybody up there is having the same problem, otherwise everybody in the district would be down here. And I have a meter out there. I'm not using it. That would help find, and I know the people at Poppy Lane probably would allow, at least one of those people would allow you to put some sort of measuring device there, because I think Poppy Lane is as high as you're going to get.
Well, I think that's a good idea. Mr. Jones and I will discuss that. We hadn't really considered that before, but that would help.
That would give you at least an idea to know that if you're getting a problem over the whole place, whether it's just a few houses, and then if it's a few houses, maybe it's engineering. Or, you know, not engineering so much as a mechanical problem. But I still think it's a two-blind thing, the two-blind pipes.
Well, that test would sure tell.
I'm not saying that that's the solution, but it'd give us somewhere to look.
Well, that test would surely tell, and we'll discuss that. If we can do that with any reasonableness, we'll work on that.
I think mainly their concerns are that probably now the pressure is fairly good, even in the low pressure areas. But they're looking forward to this summer, and things might go back to where they were last summer. And I don't want to be around when that happens. I won't answer my phone.
Okay,
thank you.
Mark, would you like to comment
for the staff? Mr. President, the district is reporting the pressures on a quarterly basis to the Department of Health Services, and we're taking pressure readings on a daily basis.
Okay.
Trying to record the high and lows of each day.
Okay. Okay.
Before, on the agenda item cover, a second paragraph, it was talked about the attached letter was written to Mr. and Mrs. Holder and said no response had been received from them, but it had been received, and it just was came in after this was printed. So you did get a response from them.
Yes, I did get a response. It came in the mail on Friday. And
and then I see now you have another letter going out to them, too.
Right.
Thank you.
Right now we'll take public comment. And, you know, in view of the late hours, could we limit that to 3 minutes?
Sure. Mary Holder, 234 Summit Station Road. I just received the letter today from Mr. Gehring, and here he says, gathering pressure information at your residence as well as several other locations within the Summit Station area. So what are the other locations, I want to know, is crucial to making a determination of which actions are most appropriate. Well, gentlemen on the board, Mr. Jones and Mr. Gehring, I received a letter today, January 20th, 1998. You are again requesting a pressure gauge to be placed at our residence. Your family stated many times your responsibility ended at the meter, right? From the meter forward, if there's a problem, we're to take care of it. When I go down to my stub up, not more than 10 feet from the meter, there is no water. There is no water on any of my my outputs.
Can I just ask you to clarify what time period you're referring to when you say there's no
this
water?
This is during the summer, during the stress times. He knows I've called him and no one ever received any reports on it. They called it low pressure and it was no water. Because I called you at your home. I'll repeat that again and told you. And I was irate and your wife would be irate too. You formally stated many times your responsibility ended at the meter. Therefore, we see no reason that a gauge should be placed on our property since your responsibility ends at the meter. So for the second and final time, we do not feel a gauge is necessary on our property. It is necessary on the street. We need to know if they're keeping it up. From that point on, if we have to put a pressure pump in, it's our responsibility, not their problem. If there's a problem in the engineering, that's, you know, not our problem. It wouldn't show up to our house. That line has been in there for 22 years, and he never had a problem with a well. You know what I mean? It's the same line. No changes in it. So I don't see all of a sudden, since we're hooked up to the water company, we're having a problem from the meter up to our house when we never had a problem from our well up to our house in the same line, the identical line. Nothing's been changed. So is it really a necessity for us to have a gauge at our house to prove something? Or isn't the gauge during the summer when we're during stress, when there's no water and the pressure cannot maintain? Isn't there, you know, that's where I stand. I don't really feel that it should be allowed on our property, because it seems to me that all of a sudden if we put a gauge up at our property, there's a problem in your line. Well, we never had a problem prior to that. Do you have any comments on that?
Yeah, one small one.
Uh-huh.
You never had an inch and a half backflow device in there before either.
No, we didn't.
And all you're going to do is get some free information. And
but after the inch and a half backflow, we could put a pressure pump on.
What I'm saying is, you're going to get free information from an engineer. Now, if I had a water pipe out there and an engineer was going to give me some free information and I could do what I wanted with it, I'd take it.
Well, then maybe.
You're not obligated to use it or anything, but if he comes up and puts one online, I'll be glad to have it.
Well, they did this once before. They came out one day, and they saw that we lost 7 pounds of pressure.
I'm just saying
they did that down at the street and up at our house.
If you don't, that's fine, too.
And then I want to know also, Mr. Jones, during the outages, were there any, we were told there were two fire hydrants that were hit, two times people were stealing water? Was there any police reports?
Ms. Fuller, you're over your time.
Oh, okay.
You know, when we have when we get this report, we'll give this area greater time. Mm-hmm.
Well, my husband is really the one. I'm speaking for him. Because
okay.
he, you know.
I'm Wilbur Swanson. I live at 1250 Futura Lane. You keep harping about pressure. Well, we've got pressure, but we don't have any water. I've got a pressure gauge. You have your gauge in front of the meter. You're going to have pressure there continuously. If I don't get any water, your pressure is going to be constant. It's going to just go in a straight circle from now on. The minute I turn mine on, I've got pressure when the water comes out. And you still got 30 pounds pressure at your pressure gauge. I lose 10 pounds through my backflow, so that cuts me down to 20. But still, when I turn my faucet on, I get a little bit of water, and then it quits. And I can take the same line, turn your valve off, put my pump on, it pumps 30 pounds pressure, 50 gallons a minute, out of my tank. And I can turn 12 sprinklers on. And I mean, it pops them up and they can run like crazy. I shut mine off, turn yours on, they pop back down the ground, I don't get nothing. The pressure don't mean nothing if you don't have the volume of water coming to us, and it can't come to us in a dead-end line. You just don't have no velocity. It's that simple. Pressure don't mean diddly what if we don't have water for the pressure to push. So that... It's that simple. Now, if you can get water coming down that pipe, we got 2-inch pipe, and there's 6 of us. We all run 2-inch pipes so that we have no friction loss, no problems. And all that 2-inch pipe is a storage tank until I turn a faucet on. And then water's going to come out. It just gives you more capacity, but you don't have the capacity coming to it. And with your meter, if you put it behind, between my backflow and your meter, you'd get a true reading. But you'd as well put it out in the fire hydrant. That's where you got it. Ain't going to do no good in front of your meter. If your meter loses pressure, our backflow loses pressure, then we know that. But still... We've got all kinds of pressure, but we just don't get water. And that's all. We don't care what the pressure is. If I get 20 pounds and get 30 gallons a minute or an hour, I can't get 30 gallons an hour. My pump will outpump what you can put in my tank. I'll pump my tank dry with your line going full blast.
Well, sir, Mr. Garrett can come up with some answers to your predicament.
Well, the simple thing is to equalize your lines. Get your pressure equalized. If somebody's got 80 pounds, give them 40 and give us 40. But you've got to equalize your line, your flow, and your pressure somewhere. And he can do it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Brad Balzano, 226 Summit Station. May I make a suggestion to Mr. President? Brad Balzano, 226 Summit Station. I said it. With regard to the letter sent by your engineering firm, I would just like to make this suggestion. They're attacking the problem in just a few selected areas. If it's this that you need to make a correct analysis, if it's in fact just this pipeline section of this annexation, why not, during this time of year, put a device, such as you're asking Mary Holder and Fred Holder to do, on each and every person's property, on a hose bib somewhere on their property, everywhere, at a selected time and date, get the water running like it would normally be during the summer months. That'll tell you if your pressure's dropping. Is that feasible from the engineering standpoint? I mean, that's what's been discussed amongst a few people that live up in the area. Why do it at one or two locations? Why can't we do it at 43 locations? Times $8. Isn't that what those cost? Somewhere around there.
$9. Jesus, it keeps going up every time I check. So 9 times 5, let's call it 50. What the hell? So $450. And then, of course, your fees on top of that. I don't know if we can afford $450 in this district, but that would be my suggestion if you're going to attack the problem that way from an analytical point. I think that's a reasonable request to ask a property owner to put something on a hose bib, but ask everybody to do it and get them all to turn the water on like it is in the summer. Then you can assess the situation before the summer comes and possibly fix it. Second item, I know you want to speak, John. Second item is, I read some information that was given to me, and it seemed very practical that if just this area, the Summit Station area, not Dale, not Poppy, but just Summit Station, Futera, in these areas, what's the cost of a booster pump just in that area, just to get that line going, and then also changing it, the line itself, like the man just said before us. So, I mean, these are things that, those 3 things I wanted to touch base on. Also, I spoke to a man named Stan Porhola. He could not be here tonight, but he also asked me to address the board. So, Mr. President, he lives at 301 Summit Station. He is not hooked up within the system at this time. And there's one major reason that he is not hooked up. I'm sure you read it in the paper. He rented a house 2.5 years ago on Futera Lane, right by you folks that have no water. They have pressure, no volume. He could not get water to a second floor, as it's been stated by this board that we would not be able to get water to our second floor either without the use of outside equipment.
Mr. Balzon, I just have one question for clarification. You were talking about a valve or a device on the bibs on the site. What type of device were you referring to?
I'm not an engineer.
Okay.
But he knows the $9 part. Those folks in the back know what it is. Maybe
pressure gauge.
It's just a test of pressure, yeah. You put them on your hose bib. What are they called?
Well, you paid less than I did.
I'll kick in the extra dollar. It's $43 more if it's a dollar more. But does that sound feasible from an engineering standpoint, to spend $450? And I think, we could get a little demonstration right here at the meeting on how to screw it on, and you wouldn't have to pay anybody to go out and do it. Who's going to read all of them? We have a field supervisor. And I'm sure that the people that are not having the problems are not going to make up problems. Okay. I'm just thinking that instead of targeting one person that seems to be the one that's been complaining the most to you and reporting the most outages, how about the other folks? Also, Mr. Herrera, who could not be here tonight, that handed over the water for analysis that was dumped down the toilet, asked me to ask that same question to you on his behalf. Thank you.
My name is Gianna Neitz, and I live at 1550 Michigan Way. I have water, so I'm not here about whether I have it or I don't have it. But the heartfelt feelings that I'm feeling from these people who don't have water, I sit and I ask myself, are you not a utility? If PG&E, if I call them and I say, excuse me, but I have no power to my house, they come. Now. The telephone company comes if I have no telephone, God forbid. These people have no water, and they're talking to you, and it appears that you don't even know what they're talking about. I am dumbfounded, honestly. My husband spoke earlier, and his comment to you was, I don't even remember the words, but it had to do with, do you know what you're doing? Are you people responsible? You have these people's lives who have no water coming to their house. And you're all going, now, let's see, should we put this kind of fixture on there or this kind of fixture? come on. You're a utility. You get paid, Mr. Doug Jones, to do this, to give these people water. They should not be up here begging you to figure out why they're not getting it.
I'm John Snyder from Kosh California Limited, 662 Eucalyptus Road in Napomo. There's two things that occur to me. First of all, I was wondering if you had considered running a camera down there. If you recall, after the last meeting on Summit Station, after everybody had left, the man who had installed the lines from the main pipe to the meters said, well, maybe I hit a buried valve or something. And I was wondering if you had... He has it on tape. Whether he had considered taking a camera and running it down this elusive section of pipe that seems to be in this small area, which you argue, and what cost that one might be. And secondly, you were asked what the cost of the pressure pump was, and I would request that you look at not just the cost of a pressure pump, but possibly an alternate scenario where you would be looking at a pressure pump at the base of the tank at Summit Station, basically where the pipe tees off from Black Lake up to Summit Station, and consider not only the cost of that pump itself, but also the benefit that you would gain by being able to use the standpipe tank. You basically have a million-dollar tank. It's 88 feet tall. You can only use, like, the top 10 or 20 feet. If you put a booster pump in, you could use much more of that tank. You could have a much higher hourly peaking flow, maybe necessitating that you not drill this well that you just put in, and solve both problems at the same time for maybe $25,000. And if you put a standby generator on there for another $25,000, then it would just be really, really good. But I think you should really consider both the cost of the pressure pump and the benefit, both in using the tank and what sort of extra peak capacity you can have. And also, on the wells that I have, we run tanks and we fill them up at the nighttime when electricity is dirt cheap, and we save about $2,000 a month, and we use that water between the hours of 12 and 6. So there's a substantial benefit, and that's only a 30,000-gallon tank for us. So there's a substantial financial benefit on a monthly basis to be able to use storage. And I think that, in my mind, that a pump would actually maybe make money, not lose money. Thank you.
Case Dobie, All Seasons Flowers, 815 Guadalupe Road. I'd just like to underwrite what John just said, and when Mr. Gehring commented his remarks back to the guy in the red shirt, these are exactly the things that I don't think are being addressed in mitigating. Indeed, if you have this big investment, this big well, tank that everybody has to look at, and you're only using a small percentage, that does not look very efficient if you do that. I mean, you have a big tank to use it to its full capacity, and I think the issue of pressure pumps is a very commonly used thing in situations where you do not have enough pressure, and that indeed comes back to right now it's January the 21st. The problem was in the last summer at Summit Station, and how long does it indeed to take, or does it take to act on these things? It does seem very long. Therefore, it's maybe even more surprising how short it took to take the decision on the drilling the new well. I think these things are a little bit in conflict with each other. Thank you.
I have been informed that the people couldn't get on the property to place any test equipment or anything else. Am I correct?
Brad Balzano, 226 Summit Station. The reason is they were singled out as the only person Because it's not accurate. It's only one property, for the love of Lord.
Okay, then I was not.
This is Mary Holder from 234 Summit Station. No, they asked to put a pressure gauge. This is what Kurt Souza from the State Health Department said. He wanted put down at the street. That's where the problem is, that they have to make sure the flow is going and the pressure is at the meter, right? Well, if we have a problem from the meter up to our house, that's our problem, not his. But his engineering problem is a problem. That's where the problem is. It's not working. And he knew ahead of time that our place was, and Mr. Jones stated here, ours was going to be the worst one on the system. And we were never informed. I think that was quite unfair. How would you like it?
Anybody else wish to speak on that?
I wanted to comment on that statement by Case and by John Snyder. That was one of the scenarios that we were thinking about at the time when we came out with the trying to solve this problem. Number five, install a hydromatic system booster pump station on Hedrick Avenue prior to Summit Station out there by the tank. And there were pros and cons of that, and we didn't really find out what it even was going to cost. So we don't.
Has it, you really follow up with John's question, has it ever been looked at pumping during the night and draining it down during the day to a certain extent? And has it ever been looked at? Because that's the need. If a small company first is predictable, maybe not that small, and that's my attorney probably. But if a company can save $2,000, the district can probably save a lot more, which I would assume makes an extremely big impact on the whole issue. And that's exactly
it
looks like the district has not.
I think they were pumping. They were pumping in the off hours for the cheaper electric rates. They knew what you were talking about. I think the staff does.
But if you can only draw down to 8, 10, or 20 feet, you cannot really use it, am I correct?
We'll have to curtail this conversation you're having, Mr. Dolby. I would just like to say that this committee that you hear meeting has looked at this very situation that John described and looked at it on it as a possibility. Unfortunately, it seems that this process is slow. Perhaps we can speed it up some because I sympathize with the people that live up there. I wouldn't want to be in that situation. And we are taking a look at all. We've brainstormed this, and there are some solutions to them. Some of them probably are maybe not within budgetary possibilities, but we are considering that very solution that John suggests. So we'll know as the process moves along. We're going to have to come up with a solution because the district, as has been suggested, cannot operate with people being out of water. We know that. Okay. Unfortunately, we can't just do it overnight. It's going to take some time. And I think we have to move along with this, John.
Could I just make one offer? I'd offer to spend a half hour of time with a calculator and a pencil with one of the board members and just, do the calculation, bring your electric bill. We'll make an estimate, and then you can check to see if your engineers are doing a good job.
We'll consider your offer. Anybody else wish to speak on the Summit Station public comments? Mr. Bozano, will you make this your last time?
Certainly, Mr. Presidente. My name is Brad Balzano. I reside at 226 Summit Station. I'm here also tonight to speak on behalf of Judith Supper at 226 Summit Station. She asked that I ask you to answer her last question. Do you have the minutes from last week?
Yeah.
Do you have an answer?
Mr. Jones?
I saw him.
I haven't been given a copy of the minutes. Do you have the minutes, sir?
I'll hand you my copy.
Okay.
From along the tapes are kept is the question. Is that one you're referring to?
Is there any response to it, Miss Judith Supper?
Could you repeat her question, please?
I'm not Mrs. Supper. She asked me to ask if you had an answer to the question she asked last week.
It's on agenda item 3. And her question was, she is concerned about the safety of the water being delivered.
She asked several questions.
Okay, my point here is to see how many people actually read the minutes before you rubber stamp them. Mr. K does, I know that. Okay, now, my point is that, number one, you're rubber stamping the minutes before you all really look at them and address the questions that were asked in each and every meeting that I've been to, which only number 3. Okay? My point now, number 2, is on that water quality issue. Did you address that on the analytical part, Mr. Jones? And that's all I have to say for the night. I'm sure you're happy to hear that. But at least you picked up the agenda this time.
Okay, that'd be... That. Look, there are several questions in here, but Mrs. Supper, we don't...
The point is, Mr. Mendoza, it isn't just her question. The point is, it seems that when everybody walks out of this room, they still have the same question that came in the room with.
You know what?
Again, with no answers. And so what we're asked, what I just asked, is do you have an answer for someone that asked a question last week? You all had to look and see what it was, and then when you got to it, you looked around, scratch your head, clueless. You don't have the answer. You never have the answer the following meeting. When is that going to happen? They're simple questions.
I asked you which question. There's several by Mrs. Slipper in here. How can you answer it?
It's your job to find out what the questions were and to answer them. Actually, it's your job to do that. To respond to people as an elected official. And I suggest to you, sir, that you're not doing your job if you're not direct. I was incorrect when I asked for Mr. Jones to step down. I asked you in this public meeting for all of you to step down.
I believe you've closed the public comment.
Okay, the public comment is closed on the summit station issue.
You know, can I make a comment on this? Maybe we should TV that one. And this... Most water districts and other districts that I know, at least some of my friends work for them, usually the standard policy today is when a water line finishes, TV.
Yeah, that's a sewer line, not a water line.
Well, they do water lines too sometimes, because sometimes those people make mistakes. But I think this one might be an idea to TV it just to see if there's something in there that's either letting the water out, letting air in. Is it going to be that expensive, or can it be done? I mean... Or is it gonna? It's not like a sewer line where you got a manhole and you can open it up. I don't know if there's any place where, if they can open the back up and go back, or not. I don't know if the engineering, if there's any place where they can do that. But it might be a thought. There's got to be something wrong with that thing out there.
Well, let Mr. Jones.
And the other thing is, put some wallable testing places out there somewhere and get a handle of what's going on. I mean, you people all think I care. I got 3 hookups out there. I got a little bit of a stake in this thing, too, and I got to have water to my house, too. Yeah.
Okay. We'll move on to item number 6. Mr. Jones?
Okay. Mr. Chair, the California Government Code, Section 53646, requires local government entities to adopt an annual investment policy. And the Honorable Board has adopted a policy last year, which would be the same as this year, and we prepared a resolution adopting the 1998 District Investment Policy, which is very similar or identical to the one last year, Exhibit A attached to the resolution. outlines the investment policy that was adopted last year, and basically it's very similar or identical for the policy this year. This is basically a requirement by the government code, state of California.
What was the return drawdown last year?
We get approximately 6% from layup on our investments with the state.
Have you considered the Vanguard plan at all?
That would be against the district investment policy.
Why is that?
I'm the legal counsel.
Shall we call an individual meeting here?
No. If the board would, I'd address the board's attention to page 2 of the investment policy, starting at page 6. It is subparagraph A, and what the board has decided in the past is, when it says the district finance officer, that is the general manager, is authorized to invest in the following institutions, and it does state four. It says county pooled funds, the local agency investment fund, which is often called the LAIF, or then the FDIC insured banks. And then number 4 would fall into Director Simon's point, which is such other financial institutions or securities that may be designated by the Board of Directors from time to time in compliance with California federal law. If the board is indeed interested in expanding its investment policy, it could give that direction to staff, and then staff could, and the board could obviously give suggestions to staff to do the research on, and then come back to the board at a later date with a resolution authorizing that type of particular investment if it's the board's desire at that time.
Well, if you appoint a committee, I'd like to serve on the committee. I was interested in that type of thing.
Well,
is it?